to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show again today. It's Tuesday, and we're just sort of watching the follies that are taking place all over the mainstream media and around the world. Just, I don't know. I think maybe there's something in the water. On a planetary scale, because everybody seems to be going crazy. First of all, to get the economic news out of the way, the Dow plunged 381 points down today, despite the passage of Obama's bailout bill in the Senate. Now, it's not quite a done deal, because yes, the House has passed a version, the Senate's passed a version. Now we've got to lock them in a room with chainsaws while they sort of work out the differences, because obviously the Senate bill has mutated beyond all recognition from the version that the House put together. And they're going to basically get back and say, well, I'll sit still for the money that you put in for this fluffy program if you'll sit still for the money that I put in for this fluffy program over here. They call it log rolling or deal making, or just to be more generic, you know, screwing the taxpayers. The reality is, if you look at what's going on with this bill, where there is money for various social programs, condoms, there is money for all of these entitlements. There is a multi-billion dollar request for a supercomputing center to study global warming. And none of this stuff has a direct bearing on fixing the economy. It's not a bailout bill. It's a spending bill. It is a spending bill that is being passed without an actual budget behind it. And if you're wondering why the sun doesn't seem quite so bright to you right now, it's because as of now, you are another $9,000 deeper in debt than you were when you woke up this morning. And they're just piling it on there. And the irony of all this, or if you will, the tragedy of all this, this bill gets passed in the Senate today on the same day that the Obama administration has come out and said, well, it's probably going to take at least another $1.5 trillion, with a T, to bail out the banks. The problem with this is the same bozos who wrecked their banks and investment firms, ruined their depositors and their investors, it's the same people that are being given your money. The previous bailouts did not work. This one isn't going to work again, because none of these bailouts are addressing the fundamental problem with our society today. We don't make products that other people, other countries want to buy. That's the reality. All of these bills are doing is moving the debt around onto you. And here is where the bailout is really carrying its stiffest price. Barack Obama ran a campaign based on hope. We hope things will get better with an Obama presidency. Well, hope is already dead just 3 weeks into the new administration. Because who can have hope for the future when the U.S. government is piling debt onto you faster than you can possibly work it off? It doesn't matter how hard you work. Things are going to get worse. You're going to have to go without more stuff to pay these taxes that are coming up. And for all these taxes you're going to be paying, the government will not be giving you anything back for it. No medical care, no entitlements, no help with your getting an education, no help with training. They're just taking the money and giving it to the bankers who own the Federal Reserve to pay back all this money they're spending on a supercomputer center to study global warming and condoms. Now, so that gets us to the riddle of the day. How many stimulus bills does it take for the light bulb to go off over your head to understand you're being screwed? Now, a lot of this money is going out for these various agenda-driven programs. And there's a little reality you need to keep in mind. Government, U.S. government, city government, state government, county government, all government, they're the biggest employer in the United States. They employ more people than manufacturing. They employ more people than agriculture. It's a huge ongoing situation to deal with all this gratuitous paperwork that gets shuffled back and forth. And get this, your average state and local government worker makes one-third more money than you do for doing the same work. If you're an accountant in the private sector, you will make $60,000 a year. If you are working for the government, you're going to be making a lot more than that. You're going to be making 75 plus change. Plus, government workers get pensions and benefits that you don't. You get Social Security, but they're going broke. When you add in the pensions and the benefits, the difference between a government worker doing the same job you are doing and you is about 40%. It's quite an exalted lifestyle. In New York, public sector wages and benefits since 2000 have grown twice as fast as those of the average private sector worker. We have all these overpaid government workers who are out there saying, hey, no problem, you know, well, we'll just spend another $800 billion. Those taxpayers won't mind. They love us so because we're such a blessing on their life. School administrators in Chicago are making $400,000 a year with benefits and incentives. And yet the school systems, when you get down to the classroom level, they don't have supplies. They don't have materials. The teachers are underpaid. That's why we can't get good teachers on the school. We had, again, just this last weekend, students from a local school, they're running a bake sale. They're going door to door selling brownies, homemade brownies, in order to raise money to buy paper and pencils for their schools. Other signs of the decline and fall of the empire are abounding all over. Apparently, there have been some prisoners rioting because food has run out. They don't have money to put food in the prison. So just think about it. These guys are locked up, and gals are locked up in cages, and they're not being allowed to eat for 2 days. Yeah, they're going to get a little nervous about that. California may order a release of one-third of all the prisoners in their prison system to relieve overcrowding and reduce costs. Now, personally, I think that everybody who's in prison for being caught with a marijuana cigarette on their person, they should be let out anyway. It's a stupid reason to lock people up. Right now, however, there is another crisis. Where are these people going to find work? Because they're being let out at a time where there's no jobs, plus they've got a criminal record, albeit possibly minor ones. And what are they going to do when they're out on the street? Are they going to turn back to crime just to eat? Yeah, probably. Would not be uncommon for prisoners who are used to a guaranteed 3 square meals a day, and they get released and they can't get work, they'll go rob a store and they'll grin right at that security camera because they want to get arrested and sent back to jail. Now, an interesting story came out of Europe today. As you know, the Royal Bank of Scotland is again in the news because they're having to let go huge numbers of their employees, 2,300 workers, and yet they're carrying through with plans to give all of their chiefs, top-level executives, £1 billion in bonuses. You know, couple million here, couple million here. They're just dividing up the loot from their taxpayer-funded bailout. It's amazing the parallels that are going on. Four ex-chiefs of the Royal Bank of Scotland and the Halifax Bank of Scotland, in basically hearings before Parliament, admitted that they had no formal banking qualifications among any of them. One was a lawyer, one had some accounting background, but none of them had been trained to manage a bank at all. How did these guys get these jobs in the first place? We'll be back after these words from our sponsors, 800-259-9231.
This is Cascadia Public Radio. You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I have to tell you that I am extraordinarily disappointed in Barack Obama. For all the talk of change and hope, and yes, we can, he is just another politician. His performance during his first press conference as president was abysmal. I mean, we saw all the press conferences that he set up. He had his own sign, you know, for the office of the president-elect, which was pretentious as all get out. And a lot of people saying, what are you doing? You know, you can't wait until you actually start the job. You've got to have your own little office of the president-elect. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, including yours truly. Okay, well, now he's the president. You know, as Nixon used to go around saying, I am the president. And let me make one thing perfectly clear. So anyway, Barack Obama is doing his press conference, and he's being asked some questions, some of which are just puffballs. You know, they're easy lobs so that he's got something he can respond to, where it should be obvious what the answer should be that will please the majority of the American people. And yet Barack Obama would not get into the saddle. One of the questions involved the returning of our war dead back to the United States in the middle of night and not allowing anybody to see them unloaded, which was something that the Bush administration did. A lot of people were very, very unhappy with that. And instead of just saying, yeah, we're gonna give our war dead the full honor and ceremony and respect that they are owed for making that sacrifice. We're going to unload them in the light of day, and yes, the press will be allowed to take pictures. And instead, Barack Obama goes on about having to consult with the Pentagon and having to consult with our allies and Defense Department and all the rest of this. And, you know, consult? You know, are you or are you not the chief executive? Are you not the commander-in-chief? You speak, Pentagon, do. That's the job you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to go around trying to build consensus among all of the various branches of government, because even if you laid every single government department end to end, they're still going to point in different directions. The purpose of the president is to set the directions and not try and build consensus among the various units. Now, I think the highlight, or if you will, the low light of the evening involved Helen Thomas, who gets my award for courageous journalist of the millennium. And never mind the Pulitzers, that's small. This woman needs the Nobel Peace Prize. So she gets up there and she asks Barack Obama, and this is going to get her banned to the back room, the back row again, like happened when she put Bush on the spot. So Helen Thomas just ask Barack Obama, do any Middle Eastern nations have nuclear weapons? You and I know the answer to that question. Yes, Israel has nuclear weapons. No other nation does. That would have been the correct and honest and honorable answer to a question by the media. Instead, all Obama said is, no Middle Eastern nuclear arms race will be allowed to take place. That wasn't the answer to what Helen Thomas asked. And what Barack Obama has just said is he's going to preserve the status quo, where Israel is allowed to have nuclear weapons that they can use to threaten their neighbors, and nobody will be allowed to come up to parity as a deterrent. In other words, Barack Obama's policy is to force all the nations around Israel to be staked out, naked and helpless on the ground, so that Israel can come along and piss on them anytime they want to. That's really what it comes down to. So I am very discouraged with that. Now, I think this deal with the bailout, the multiple bailouts, I'll be honest, Barack does not share the soul guilt on this because he just got here. But all these bailouts going back to last October, I mean, we have spent more money in the last few months in this country than all the wars we ever fought in our entire nation's history. We've spent, plus throw in the entire Apollo moon program and the great step for mankind that we were all so proud of. The money is just flowing out of Washington, D.C. on your chit. And I think what Barack Obama has done without realizing it, and without any of his very privileged people who work around him realizing it, because they're set for life, they've got money, doesn't matter what happens, they're fine. But for the rest of us who are just struggling, and we're just aware of 9,000 here, 8,000 here, 10,000 here, debt being added to us day after day after day, piling up so fast we can never deal with it. And it reminded me of what happened in the wake of World War I and the Spanish flu, which was misnamed, by the way, because it actually first appeared on a U.S. military base in Kansas. And the people who survived that war, there had never been a global war, so that was a new experience. There had never been a flu pandemic that swept the globe like that in the history of mankind. And the people who survived it could not bring themselves to believe in tomorrow. They couldn't get themselves to believe that by working hard today, they were going to have a better tomorrow. Because they had seen firsthand that it didn't matter how hard you work, it didn't matter how hard you try, something could come along the very next day tomorrow and wipe it all out. The harsh lesson of these catastrophes, it didn't matter how hard you work, what you did, your home could be destroyed, the ones you loved could die in your arms, and you yourself could be killed without a moment's notice. What, up until that point, people had seen their nations as immortal and, for the most part, invulnerable. And World War I had just shown that all of these governments were ephemeral. New governments were created, old governments were destroyed, poison gases wafted across the field. And everybody came away from that seeing themselves as very frail, delicate, very mortal beings, and it weighed on their heads. And the result was a live for the moment mentality. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. That was certainly true. Nobody wanted to work for a tomorrow that was going to be stolen. If you had money, you spent it right then and there on whatever made you feel good. And this came to be called the bohemian lifestyle. The artists who were living in the dusty attics of Paris, or what was ultimately termed the lost generation. And what this was all about was a belief in nothing, that there was no possibility for improvement. I'm going to stop here. We've got to do some commercials. When we come back, I want to talk about this, because I think the economic reality is with these bailouts is that Barack Obama and Bush have destroyed the willingness for the American people to push for the future.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha. Welcome back to the show here. And by the way, our phone number is 800-259-9231. Matt is twiddling the dials and flogging the mutant hamster today, so if you want to call into the show. Oh, we've got a caller on the line. I want to finish this thing about nihilism real quick, because I think it's very important, because I think we're going into a phase of that, and our government, our economic leaders don't understand what they're doing to the people of this country with the bailout. Yes, they're sticking us with the debt. They're definitely doing that. But the damage is far, far worse. We were talking last segment about the lost generation, that live for the moment, no faith in tomorrow generation that followed the twin tragedies of World War I and the Spanish flu. And it wasn't confined to them. In the post-World War II culture, those who'd survived from the war came back and again, why work for tomorrow that could be blown up, especially by the nuclear weapons? So we had that whole beatnik generation, which was an anti-materialistic, live-for-the-moment kind of a generation. To a lesser extent, we saw the same thing in the post-Vietnam era with the hippies, which were live-off-the-land, anti-materialism, same thing. It seems to be a common reaction. And the core problem for all of it was that people had been so abused by their governments, they couldn't believe that there was going to be a tomorrow that they could rely on, that was worth working for, that was worth building for. All the time we see it on TV, plan for tomorrow, plan for the future, save now, invest for tomorrow. And all these people who are walking around this nation right now, who have lost their homes after decades of doing without more immediate pleasures because they were building for the future. And now it's all gone. We've got elderly people who have been living in nursing homes on Medicare, and Medi-Cal rather, and California is running out of money. These people are being thrown into the streets. And with all of this happening around you, I don't think the Obama administration understands the psychological damage that is being done to the American people at a time when we assume the U.S. government is relying on the American people to pull together and shoulder the burden and work twice as hard to rebuild the United States to what it once was. And they're not going to get it because psychologically they've pulled the rug out from under us. We're lying flat on the ground and wondering, why should I bother getting up? It's kind of comfortable down here looking up at the stars. Anyway, I think it's a major concern. I think the psychological damage that's been done by these bailouts, as bad as all the debt that has been dumped onto all of us, this unpayable debt plus accruing interest, as bad as that is, I think the real damage is psychological. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Clarence in Oklahoma. Aloha, Clarence. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind right now?
Well, I tell you, right now we're trying to dodge tornadoes and hail and severe thunderstorms right now.
Take pictures. Send them in.
We're doing fine.
Okay.
I just listened to your disc. Well, by the way, I just had a Whopper, double Whopper with double cheese, and I should have asked him for a defibrillator before I left there. But what I was thinking of is what you said about the lost generation and the government. There's so much I wanted to. For one thing, I'm retired as a federal employee, and but I did never attain any rank. You know, I mean, I think all of them make a lot of money. I didn't. I made $30,000 a year when I retired. And okay. I never got promoted. And the reason I didn't was I did not kiss posterior or schmooze or was, you know, I figured if I did a good enough job, that should be enough. That's not enough. It's a corrupt system. I learned
yes.
that the last 5 years I was there. I woke up finally, listened to pay that. Finally, I realized I was working for a criminal organization. And it goes right from the floor of where I worked right straight to the White House, all up the chain. And, but I couldn't, that's the worst 5 years of my life. Because I had what they called the golden handcuffs. I came under the old retirement system, which was very good. The new mm-hmm. one, I wouldn't give you a dime for. I don't, you know, it's not that great. Because most of theirs is invested in stocks and things like that. You know, it's like a 401k, you know, that,
yeah.
that a defined plan. So these people now, they're watching your money go to, you know, wherever it goes.
Yes.
Those last
Nobody
5 years,
knows where that is.
I had such a problem with those last 5 years because once a person realizes and wakes up, there's a conflict in the mind. I couldn't, you know, I said, well, why don't you just quit if you can't stand it? Well, I had 5 years to go. I had 30 years in. Do I throw mm-hmm. that away? Do I throw the 30 years away? Or do I tough it out? I decided to tough it out. Wasn't pleasant, but I toughed it out. But not all federal employees are, you know, but they are. They've got a bunch of, they're top heavy, they're overpaid, they're corrupt, they do, I could go into it endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Next point, the lost generation. Didn't Hemingway write a book, The Sun Also Rises? Wasn't that?
Yes.
Based upon, yeah, I thought that. It's been so long. I thought that was.
Oh, there have been a lot, you know, a lot of art, a lot of literature. The Moulin Rouge, the recent movie, is talking about that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a major social phenomenon because they couldn't figure out why, having, you know, we won the war, and yet our society was on the verge of falling apart.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it looks like right now, and I still have that old model right now. We are witnessing the death rattle of a dying empire, and it's being done by design so that their new system will come in and we'll get rid of most of the people that are useless eaters, and the rest of us, they'll have a very powerful elite at the top that's got everything, and they'll keep just enough alive to do all the grunt work. And so I think that's exactly what their plan is, and whether they're, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm just watching the parade right now.
Okay, well, you know, a lot of people are doing that. I am still not 100% convinced that this is intentional. What I'm seeing is a lot of accident, stupidity, and outright greed, and I think what a lot of people need to realize, you know, and we just had this situation where Barack Obama was admitting on a TV interview, you know, last week that he really isn't that knowledgeable about economics. Well, gee, good time to tell us now that you've already been elected president. But I think the reality is we're all raised and propagandized to believe that people in government are somehow smarter than we are. And yeah, there's a lot of very sharp people in government, but sometimes they can be so in love with their own self-image, they're blind to a lot of other stuff that's going on around them, or they're so totally trapped by their own beliefs of their own supremacy and how they think the world should be, they can't see what's going on. And there's also, of course, Rivero's rule of the hierarchy to deal with, which is that mid-management is always lying in both directions.
Absolutely.
They don't want their subordinates to give up hope. They don't want their superiors to get, you know, pissed off. And so they're always, they're filtering the information going in both directions. And if you're on top of two or three or four levels of that kind of mid-management, you're effectively deaf, dumb, and blind to what is going on out in the real world. And certainly we see that in the government. And I think that's why we have so many people who are trying to play the political and propaganda game by the rules that worked back at the height of the Cold War. You know, we always hear about these people that talk about the Internet as the tubes or the Internets, you know, or in John McCain saying he can't even use a computer. They don't get it. They don't get it. And we have to stop assuming that they're smarter than we are, because they're not. They're just more opportunistic. They're more sociopathic. But they're not necessarily smarter than we are. I mean, I got a high IQ there. You know, the only reason I can't run for government is I won't lie to the American people. I did inhale.
Well, that's why you can't. You
and I liked it both times.
You couldn't work for the federal government either. Because, you know, you're not Machiavellian enough to, you know. And, you know, it's like you said about McCain, and I'll let you go because you've got more to say and maybe some more callers here. But I liked he had a good line. I got to attribute to him this the other night. He said John McCain admitted that he's talking about John McCain. But he said they have a study that shows one quarter of adults have never used the Internet. He said they're obviously AOL subscribers, you know.
Okay, sounds really good. We got to let you go. We're out of time here. A couple of commercials. We'll be right back.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economy and we're talking about the psychological damage that is being inflicted on the American people by these constant bailouts, this constant shifting of the debt onto the American people, off of the corporations and the bankers that basically created the mess. And one of the most frustrating things that Americans are having to deal with right now is watching how our government and our corporate culture completely mismanaged the nation's economy. and has put us right on the edge of a total collapse. In fact, apparently there was this electronic run on the banks. We were within minutes of seeing the entire economy collapse not too long ago. It's on the brink right now. And yet these same people, the Congress, the bankers, are, you know, their solution to every problem is to grab more money from the American people. And they're standing there insisting that they are the only ones that are capable of saving the economy, even though they're the ones who put it on the edge of the cliff. And more to the point, we're not supposed to trust anybody else but the U.S. government and the bankers to save the economy. We're certainly not supposed to trust ourselves. And that is really the crux of the matter. Because at some point, Americans who are seeing the work of a lifetime dissolve before their eyes as their homes and businesses are taken away from them, they're going to realize the time has come to stop listening to what the government is saying and to start putting more trust in our own gut instinct response to what's going on. It's like the joke I opened the show with. You know, how many bailouts does it take for the light bulb to go off over your head saying you are being screwed? Every time somebody talks about the bailouts, they say, well, the bailout really, you know, all the fluffiness aside, it comes down to a very simple thing. They're going to take a couple of trillion dollars. Actually, it's $9 trillion so far. They're going to take $9 trillion away from the American people and give it to the banks so the banks can turn around and loan it back to the American people at interest, is really what it comes down to. The fly in the ointment is, having just lost all of our money, we don't want to borrow it anymore. There is no credit crisis. There is no credit crisis. There's money out there to borrow if you want to borrow it. Nobody does. And without people borrowing it, they can't create new money. About the only good news for the economy right now is the illegal aliens are starting to go home. They're swimming back over the Rio Grande and saying they can't make it here. And I'm sure this is probably going to help some of the states like California, whose social service budgets have been strained by this huge population of illegal immigrants who are, you know, a drain on the system, and they're not contributing at the tax level. So they're starting to go home, and, you know, good luck, and I hope you fare better in your homeland, because things here are not very good. One possible indicator of just how tense things are getting, several states, starting with New Hampshire, where my childhood home, and including Hawaii, my current home, are all considering legislation. We're going to be watching this very, very closely. They're considering legislation that will declare certain actions by the federal government as null and void within the state border. What they're saying is we will hold the federal government to the limits imposed by the Constitution. And any actions by the federal government that we consider to be unconstitutional, we will not enforce. We will not implement. And any attempts by the federal government to force unconstitutional mandates upon the states will be viewed as a breach of the peace and nullifying the union. In other words, we're edging close to open talk of civil war. With the 50 states out here all at war against the little District of Columbia, the little malarial swamp there that they built the capital city on. So it's getting tense out there, and the bailout is not going to help. And the reason is it's just more of the same. They're borrowing more money to get the cash to spread around and give to cronies. And the instant they borrow that money and it gets into the financial system and it's going out through the banks, interest is owed on it. And that money doesn't exist yet. And as I keep hitting on this thing, and I'm going to keep reminding you until we start getting A's on the quizzes, the pop quizzes that we have every other period, the problem with a debt-based monetary system that we've had since 1913 is the instant that first Federal Reserve note went into circulation, more money is owed to the bankers than is actually in existence. And the Federal Reserve system continued to work from 1913 until today, coming up on the 100th anniversary, only because there was always an ever expanding population of new borrowers with which to justify the creation of new money, to pay the old interest on the old money. It's a pyramid scheme. And like any pyramid scheme, when you reach the point where you can't bring new people in, it starts to fall apart. What the bailouts are really all about, they're trying to borrow money on your behalf without your permission in order for the Federal Reserve to create up this new money to put into circulation to float the banks and the investment companies along a little more. But it's creating a problem because they're just delaying the inevitable. There's no new money coming into the economy because we're not making anything anybody wants to buy. So somewhere down the road, there'll be a demand for another bailout because the interest on the money that they just borrowed today, that money doesn't exist. So they'll do another bailout to borrow from you or to borrow from the Federal Reserve and stick the debt on you in order to have the money to pay off the interest that is accruing from today on today's bailout. And you can see where I'm going with this. There's no way it can end. The bailouts will get more often. The bailouts are going to get larger and larger. And as long as you sit still, the government is and the Federal Reserve and the investment banks and Wall Street, they're going to go on believing that it's okay with you to be adding this debt onto your head. $9,000 a pop, $10,000 a pop. Soon it'll be up to $12,000 a pop. The numbers are so large, it's hard to grasp. So you need to look at it in terms of how much more in debt are you from these bailouts? Because the government, by golly, they're going to be knocking on your door or sending you a tax notice that you have to pay all this money back plus interest. So your taxes have to go up. They must go up, and you will get nothing back from the government for that tax money. And so what it means is you are going to be driven down into total, abject poverty in order to prop up the elite ruling class. Go look at some of the most abusive economies in the world where you'll have these wonderful, modern, glittering hotels along the and mansions on the hills overlooking the beach. And they all have windows on just one side of the building, facing the ocean view, because nobody wants to look out the backside, because that's where all the general population that's paying for it all live in total squalor and corrugated tin roofs. That's where this country is headed right now, as long as you let it be. The government is not going to stop borrowing money and sticking you with the payments. They have got no reason to. Because they're making out great. All of their cronies and buddies and campaign contributors, they're making out fine. Bernie Madoff is still sitting in his $7 million penthouse after screwing the American investors for $50 billion. But ordinary Americans, we're getting the shaft on this deal over and over and over again, and they're going to keep on doing it until somebody gives them a reason to stop. They won't stop themselves. They're like drug addicts. It's like a big needle full of your money, and they're mainlining it. And every time they hit that plunger, they just get this incredible rush of energy and joy and excitement. Wow, look at all that money. It's just getting bigger and bigger, and we can go out and buy all this stuff with it. And then the hangover hits, and they need another push of that plunger. And that's called another bailout program. All right, we're going to stop here. We'll be back tomorrow's Wednesday, hump day, middle of the week, with more news, your phone calls. Until then, stay safe. Be well. Hug your loved ones. They need it. Drive carefully, and aloha, America.